Good evening, it's 6 p.m. and coming up next, People of Color with Henry Banks on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour, we'll talk about the Freedom Fund banquet with Carl Crawford from Duluth, Minnesota. Carl is the human rights officer for the city of Duluth. And Professor Teresa Hardaway from the University of Minnesota in Duluth. Also on the show, Shaquana McIntyre, founder and executive director of Fathers Rise Together. Fathers Rise Together has locations in Superior, Wisconsin, Duluth, Minnesota, and in the state of Texas. All of this and more coming up on People of Color with Henry Banks after this news. Hello, good evening, and welcome to People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Henry Banks. Thanks for joining us tonight. I am here with Carl Crawford and Teresa Hardaway. Carl is the City of Duluth Human Rights Officer and a Vice President with the local NAACP in Duluth. Teresa Hardaway is an Assistant Professor at the University of Minnesota Duluth. She's also on the Executive Committee, Executive Board of the NAACP, and both Carl and Teresa are here today. They are also members of the Freedom Fund Committee. That's an organization or a committee within the NAACP of Duluth, and you're going to be hearing some very exciting things that are coming forward in our community, and we want you to get involved with that. So welcome, folks, to People of Color, and thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us today. I'm just delighted that you're here.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
So I have, before we get to the Freedom Fund conversation, I have a few questions I'd like to ask you to respond to, because I know the local NAACP is quite visible now and is doing a lot of great work, not only in Duluth, Minnesota, but in the entire region. And so I know the NAACP in Duluth has what is called a rapid response team. I'm going to have you talk a little bit about that. You have a communications and press and publicity team. You have a young adult team. You have an education committee. You have a health committee, a finance committee, and you have the Freedom Fund committee also. There's a lot of work going on. So can we start with the rapid response team, and what is that for our listeners?
Thanks again, Henry, for giving me this opportunity. The rapid response is an opportunity that when things happen in community, often we have felt helpless. We don't know where to turn. So the rapid response team is an opportunity to reach out, connect with the NAACP, and at least start the conversation. Keep in mind, that's not where we try and solve the problem or the issue. It's just getting the information to a group that can maybe help and pull in other resources to help in our community. Mm-hmm. The key to note with all the new committees that you mentioned earlier, those are working committees.
Yes.
So these
yes.
just aren't committees you sit and mm-hmm. come to a meeting and not report. These are actually people working on these committees, and we enjoy the opportunity for more folks to be a part of it, because we need more eyes and ears and feet on the street to really get a grip of what's happening in our communities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you, back to the rapid response team, if you do have a complaint or some type of report to give about discrimination that either you've experienced or someone that you know, you can go to duluthnaacp.org/complaint and fill out a report, and the rapid response team will get back to you.
That's very good, and yeah. and thank you for that. So, as you mentioned, Carl, these committees are working committees. So if you're on those committees, you're going to be actively engaged in the work of those committees. The communications, press, and publicity, I witnessed the work of that committee
yes.
over the Martin Luther King celebration.
Yes.
They were very busy.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more about what they do?
Yeah. So the communications committee really handles all of our press and publicity. So they're helping us get out those press releases. They're helping us post to our social media every day. There is a very, Ivy is the chair, Ivy Vanyo, and she's great. And
yes.
Becky, Amber, they are doing a wonderful job making sure that we stay visible in our community, because we're in the technology age and we need to be able to connect with people outside of just paper form. So they really do a great job with that.
Mm-hmm. Carl, did you want to say more on that?
No, just an incredible group of talented people that have brought this to the table. And as I am not tech savvy, I appreciate their talents and I'm inching into that new century of technology.
And so I don't want to forget, I don't want to be remiss in doing this. So I'm going to give you an opportunity now because I don't, like I said, I don't want to forget this. If someone who is listening right now, they want to be a member of the NAACP, can you give some information as to how they make that happen?
Yes, they can go online and fill out a membership right there for the technology savvy, right?
Yes. Yes.
So if you go online, you can go to the About section and learn more about us. And then you can also see where to join. You can click on that Become a Member button there on our About page, and you can join right there on the spot. It is $30 a year to be an active member. So, yeah, so that's what they need to do. Or you can come to, if you're not technology savvy, you can come to our meetings. And we can pay with check or cash, and you'd fill out a form at our meetings to our secretary. And then we'll get you up to date and get your paperwork sent in to National. So
absolutely. I'm going to become a member.
Outstanding.
At the next meeting. So.
Woo! Thank you.
I promise you that. So, okay, there's that. The Young Adult Committee.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so I'm the chair of the Young Adult Committee, and so I really help make sure like our young people are involved. I'm young myself, right? But you know, I make sure that the folks at UMD. So we have a UMD chapter of the NAACP, and so I'm their advisor, and so I meet with them on their with their exec meetings, and they have, you know, events coming up, and so I kind of help just advise and guide the group. But there are a great group of folks there at UMD just trying to really, you know, change the world. I'm excited about that. But yeah, that's what I do.
Mm-hmm. So when I went to your website and I saw all these active committees, I was like really impressed. The organization has grown over the years. You have an education committee that has been active recently as well.
Yes.
And that committee has witnessed success with regard to ISD 709 and the Compensatory Education Fund. Can you talk about the education committee?
Well, I know they meet monthly. They're a very active group and an important group. You know, every time we talk about disparities in America, education continues to be one of the top issues that we're faced with. And it's important that the NAACP is an active partner in closing that gap and, more importantly, making sure our kids are being taught with dignity and understood, and resources are allocated with equity.
Absolutely. You have a finance committee, which obviously is very busy, too. And talk briefly about that. I would imagine that person is very busy right now because I know memberships are starting to come in.
Yeah, so. We do get memberships coming in, of course, like ticket sales and whatnot. And so Jara McLaren, she is our new treasurer. And so she's the chair of that committee. And so her and our secretary and assistant treasurer kind of get together on finance. So if anyone is interested, they are looking for another assistant secretary. So, you know, that's a committee that you could be active in if you, that interests you.
Yeah. Okay, so two more questions before we get to the Freedom Fund conversation. So it's officially Black History Month in America.
Yes.
Okay. I would like to ask you, Carl, first, and then Teresa, how do you acknowledge Black History Month or celebrate this phenomenal history of our people?
I do my best to acknowledge not only Black History Month, but Black History Year throughout the year, of bringing the realization that there are many people that have made this country great, and among those are African Americans and Africans that have made great contributions to this city. And I think that's important that we point it out, that we find ways to point out, you know, the importance that everyone has brought to the table. And one of those things is Black history. And Black history is ongoing. It's not just in the past.
Not just in February.
It's being created today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's kind of what I was going to say, yeah. Like that we're not, and it's not about Black history necessarily, but what we're doing in the for our future generations. And that's kind of what gives me like strength and hope and empowers me to continue to move and do what I do in the community. But I think fighting for social justice, fighting for equity, those things help further what has already been done in the past, like our civil rights movement now kind of turned into Black Lives Matter. Like those things continue on throughout our lifetime. So.
Absolutely. Fighting for it every day.
Yeah.
Every day. Not just in February, but every single day of the year. So what are your hopes and dreams for 2018? Okay. I had some folks on the show about 2 or 3 weeks ago talking about that. So what are your hopes and dreams for 2018 as it pertains to all forms of equity, you know, education equity, your personal experience with things that have changed your life? What are your hopes and dreams?
I think mine would be more about representation. And by representation, representation is pretty broad, but like in all different types of fields, like, you know, I'm the first Black faculty member in my department. You know, why is that? Why was it 2016, you know, that first happened? Mm-hmm. So my biggest deal, I think, is that people are represented. Secondly, it would be that folks can join into this fight and not be intimidated because they're not a person of color and they're just starting the conversation. My hope would be that everyone could kind of feel welcome to continue to fight with us and equity, you know, because equity benefits everyone. When we are all there, you know, we can all be kind of sane in this movement together. And so that would be my second thing. So I think capacity and representation, and then that everyone would feel welcome to, you know, join us in this fight for equality.
Absolutely. Carl?
My hope and dream in the work that I do as a human rights officer for the city of Duluth is to eradicate racism in both of our communities. There should be no place where racism lives and hides and breeds. My other goal is, and this is more personal, is to make sure we don't have any headlines with youth being killed for 2018.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's powerful. Thanks for listening to this episode of People of Color. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to People of Color with Henry Banks on Wisconsin Public Radio. I've been talking with Carl Crawford and Teresa Hardaway about the upcoming Freedom Fund banquet coming to Duluth later in this month. So, you're the human rights officer for the city of Duluth, and just recently it was announced by the mayor of Superior that they will be establishing a human rights commission in the city of Superior. And that was an exciting announcement. And
yes.
So I think the relationship between Duluth and Superior coming together even more so around those particular kind of things is going to be powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and,
it is.
And so I'm looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. So we can get right now into the Freedom Fund conversation. And I know a lot of people have been working on the Freedom Fund conversation, how they're going to pull this off and all of the activities that are necessary prior to that event happening. I'm just going to give you an opportunity, Carl and Teresa, to share with our listeners what is the Freedom Fund dinner. What is the purpose? What are you hoping to get out of this moving forward in 2018? So I'm going to start with you, Teresa, and then sure. Carl, if you want to piggyback off of Teresa, that would be great.
Yeah. So the national NAACP, this is a national initiative, and the Freedom Fund was first started in 1953 prior to the Civil Rights Movement, and it was to promote and complete total emancipation for all people. It was first, you know, brought out by the Secretary of Mississippi, Medgar Evers, who was killed during the movement in 1963. In his assassination, it promoted the NAACP to create this Freedom Fund so that we can continue, like, using these funds for the work that we do through the NAACP. So we're really excited. I don't know how long it's been. It's been years
since
the NAACP has had a Freedom Fund dinner. But this is basically our biggest fundraiser to help us continue doing the work that we do throughout the year. So there are so many things that are happening. I'm just trying to gather all of my thoughts. So the first thing I'd like to mention is our keynote speaker, Setu Jones.
Yes.
He is an artist and activist in the cities. He's known for doing the half-mile-long community table that and funded by the McKnight Foundation. He's actually been up to Duluth to speak actually at UMD before. And so he will be addressing us at our keynote or as our keynote speaker for the dinner. Yeah, and then we will also have a wonderful MC this year. We reached out to Ramona Morozes, and she is a CBS 3 Duluth news anchor. So she will be joining us and emceeing the whole event, which is amazing. Thirdly, we will have an art exhibition. So the dinner will start at 6 o'clock. But the artist exhibition, which is free to come to the 5 to 6 hour. So if you don't get a ticket, you can still come to that first hour. And that will include work from my classes that I'm teaching this semester. And so what I've done in that project is I've basically assigned, it's called The Movement Imprinted, like it was last year, but this year's theme is called Music of the Revolution. And so they were assigned a song about either, you know, Black power, Black experience, something about, you know, Black folks. And they're creating a music poster, and that has to be inspired by a Black designer. So it's like blacked out and going to be amazing. I've already seen, you know, a first iterations of this poster. Their final ones are due next week, and then we're going to have it on our website for sale. And then you can also purchase at the event those posters. 50% of that will go towards the NAACP. So not only do we have the fundraising dinner aspect, purchasing tickets to help us fundraise, those are $60. 30 of that covers your meal. 30 of that covers a membership, an annual membership. So that's an awesome thing. So we have that fundraising aspect, and then we also have the art exhibition, and then asks at the dinner for donations as well.
That's awesome. So I'm going to just briefly say, here's the NAACP is the oldest civil rights organization in the United States.
That's right.
The oldest. And so, folks, you need to know that because the NAACP not only works with or assist African heritage people, they assist all people in need.
Yes.
They do everything to assist all people in need. So it's not just a Black organization.
Yeah.
So I just want to put that out there like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Carl, you're on that. You're on this awesome committee. And so Teresa is very excited and is sharing all of this information and, you know, the guest speaker, keynote speaker information. What are you hoping will come out of this wonderful evening?
But first of all, Henry, I think it's important, although we're in the midst of the struggle, we have to take pause and celebrate. This is a celebration. The reason we're having this dinner is because the young people and the influence matching with our elders made this possible. And it's important to recognize and celebrate all the good that all the people have done. It's also a time of reflection and moving forward. And you know me, call me anything but late for dinner. I'm always there on time.
Right on.
So I'm excited about the meal. I'm excited about the gathering. Yeah. And the other key issue is we got to understand the reality that it takes money to make a movement.
Mm-hmm.
Gone are the days that we can continue to sit on the sidelines and just hope that people will be a part of something. If we're really going to be engaged and we're really going to change our community, it takes financial backing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the bell was rung back, you know, when the new president took place, that America shook up and said, wait a minute, mm-hmm. have we been moving the needle toward equity and righting the wrongs in our country? And the one way we need to do that is we got to get in the game. In order to get in the game and have a seat at the table, we have to raise funds.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I'm here with Carl Crawford, City of Duluth Human Rights Officer and Vice President with the local NAACP in Duluth, and Teresa Hardaway, professor at UMD, the University of Minnesota in Duluth. She's also on the executive board of the NAACP. They are here to talk about the Freedom Fund dinner event. And it's going to be held where, Teresa?
Yeah, so our dinner is going to be held at Clyde Iron. That is going to be on Friday, February 23rd. And like doors open at 5 o'clock for the art exhibition. So if you want to make sure to get your piece and not get outbid, you want to make sure to get there and look over your piece. So 6 o'clock is when the dinner will begin. We will have artist Deanna Johnson and her band singing at the event as well. We also are going to do a different setup this year. It's not going to be these round tables.
Yes.
They're going to be long community tables, kind of mimicking what our keynote speaker did back in St. Paul with the half mile long. So we're going to have long tables. We really want to let this atmosphere be an atmosphere of equity. And so you get there, you get your place, and then you can sit down. There's no assigned seating. We want people to meet each other, meet new people in the community, build connection and relationships. We do also have an award. At this ceremony, which I did not mention earlier. So this is called Take a Stand for the Revolution Award. If you don't know, our Freedom Fund dinner is themed Groundwork of the Revolution, which is why everything has to do with revolution. And so we have Take a Stand for the Revolution Award. The nomination form is already on our website. Nominations close on Thursday, February 15th. And the winner gets $500. $250 will go to them, $250 to an organization of their choice.
Oh, that is very
and
cool.
So, yeah, and yes. So, you know, put in your nominations. You can even nominate yourself. And so we will decide who gets the prize at the dinner. So you'll find out then. And we're really excited about that award, that we were able to raise enough funds to be able to offer something like that. And so we are very excited about all of our supporters who've come out to who sponsor us.
Yes.
So, yeah, I can rattle that off later.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Okay, I'm really excited about this. So, But I want to see and hear from you all. Okay, so we have the local NAACP based in Duluth, Minnesota. We've got Superior, Wisconsin across the bridge. Mm-hmm. We have Ashland, Wisconsin. We've got Two Harbors. We've got Cloquet. Are you making efforts to make sure that the NAACP is a regional organization? I know you are. I know that's going to be a yes answer. But talk to our listeners in Ashland and Bayfield and Cloquet, who may be listening, and Two Harbors, about the importance of those communities getting involved in the local NAACP in Duluth.
And Henry, that's why we're so excited to be on your show, because you have this amazing outreach that goes into those communities. And we know that things are happening in those communities. Just because we haven't heard about them in Duluth doesn't mean they're not happening.
Mm-hmm.
So there's opportunities to organize in your community and also take a stand against hatred and racism. And it comes in many different forms. It may be subtle. Some may be right in your face, but there is something you can do about it. And we know that the only thing that has ever made a difference is a group of people coming together for a cause.
Absolutely. Teresa, so you had mentioned that you have some sponsors. Thanks for that, Carl. I appreciate that. You want to talk about your major sponsors for this event?
Yes. Our biggest sponsor is actually the College of St. Scholastica. We really appreciate them for, you know, investing in change. Our next biggest sponsor would be Northland Foundation. They gave a considerable amount to our dinner, which we're excited about. Our other sponsors, very valued, LISC, Haley Sue, Viz Lab at UMD, Auric Alpern Interreligious Forum, Bent Paddle, William Munger Inn, who is actually sponsoring the stay for our guest speaker, CHUM, Fond du Lac College, UMD Office of Diversity and Inclusion, the Jennifer Schultz Campaign, and Blackbird Revolt.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. So some really, I would like to say, high-end, awesome
yes.
organizations
yes,
doing
I
great
think so.
Work in the community and mm-hmm. the region. So thank you to all the sponsors for supporting the Freedom Fund, a very important, long overdue.
Mm-hmm.
As you said earlier,
yes, it
it's
is.
Been a long time since the Freedom Fund was in the community. So I think the opportunity to engage and bring people even closer together comes from these kinds of events. I am just about at a point where I want to say that if you're not planning to attend the Freedom Fund, you can still contribute to the NAACP and donate funds. Would you all just tell folks how they can send money to you if they
sure.
can't make the Freedom Fund?
Sure, yeah. So you can just go to duluthnaacp.org/freedomfund. All of the information is there for the nomination form, the supporter form, which you would fill out. That's what you'd fill out if you do want to give towards the dinner or just towards the NAACP. So just fill out that form really quickly so we know we're expecting it and we know where to allocate those funds to. And you can pay directly through PayPal using the link that we have on our page. And you can also mail in a check. But we are selling tickets. If you can make it to the dinner, we are selling tickets. The selling closes on the 15th.
Okay.
And then we have to let Clyde Iron know, logistics, how many people we're expecting.
Yes.
But you can buy tickets all the way up until the 15th. Again, those are $60. 30 of that is for your meal. 30 does include a annual membership.
Are you hoping for, 300 people?
Oh, wow.
Or more?
That would be amazing.
Okay.
Well, our small goal was 200.
Yeah.
200. Okay. I don't want to diminish that.
But one thing knowing, too, that we live in a community society that folks are really busy, and we know that there's only so many Fridays in a month, and you might not be able to make it to the dinner, but your dollars forward can help someone come to the table that may not be able to afford or may not be able to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important that if you could make that happen for someone, your contribution will go a long way in bringing someone to the table, and it definitely will not be forgotten. So there are ways to help, even though you can't be there.
Mm-hmm. So there are scholarship opportunities, right?
If you go to the sponsorship form, you can actually donate specifically to the scholarships. We do have a few available right now, but we would love more so that we can get people there at the table that can't necessarily afford the ticket price.
That's really great. So you all as a committee have really thought everything through, right?
Yeah, we're trying.
We're working on it.
Yeah, right? Sounds exciting. Carl, you mentioned the food part. So can you talk a little bit about the menu? Or would you like to?
Well, our choices, we have two choices, just to make it easy for everyone. We're going to have a chicken dish, and then we're also going to have vegetarian. I'm actually going to Clyde Iron today to discuss the further menu option. But those are our two choices. So when you go online and you purchase a ticket, you can click either those two choices, and then we'll let people know as the dinner gets closer what is actually going to be on your plate.
Oh, that's great.
And Clyde Iron, like many other restaurants in our community, has amazing food. So I think either choice you're going to be happy with.
That's one of the reasons why we chose Clyde Iron as well, the food.
Okay. So Clyde Iron, where are they located? So just get that out there, too.
Clyde Iron, the address is 2920 West Michigan Street, and that is in Duluth.
Okay. So is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners?
No. If you have any questions about the Freedom Fund dinner, you are more than welcome to email us, freedomfund@duluthnaacp.org. You can also just visit our website. We have a lot of things listed on there in case you have any questions. That's duluthnaacp.org/freedomfund.
Carl?
I would just encourage everyone to come out and be a part of this amazing event. I think it's going to be outstanding. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to hear from an amazing speaker. So come on out and join the movement.
Absolutely. Thank you to Carl Crawford and Teresa Hardaway, members of the Freedom Fund Committee of the local Duluth NAACP. Folks, come on out, buy a ticket and a membership. Thanks for listening to this episode of People of Color. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to People of Color with Henry Banks on Wisconsin Public Radio. I've been talking with Carl Crawford and Teresa Hardaway about the upcoming Freedom Fund banquet coming to Duluth later in this month. Coming up next, a conversation with Shaquana McIntyre, founder and executive director of Fathers Rise Together. Welcome back to People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Henry Banks. Thanks again for joining us. I am joined in the studio by Shaquana McIntyre. She is the founder and executive director of Fathers Rise Together. I'm excited to have her here to talk about her program. Fathers Rise Together, FRT, is guided by the philosophy and teaching of self-determination, personal control, and increased finances. The purpose of Fathers Rise Together is to help strengthen the family unity by engaging fathers in their children's lives to establish family values, social rules, and participation in the community. Again, I am so excited that you are here, Shaquana. Welcome to People of Color.
Thank you, Henry. Thank you. I'm super excited to be here.
First question for you is, what is Fathers Rise Together?
In the short of it, to me, Fathers Rise Together is an opportunity. an opportunity for families, an opportunity for individuals, an opportunity for the Black community, the Native American community, as well as the Duluth Twin Ports community. It is strictly an opportunity for growth.
Oh, that's wonderful. So when and where did this organization start?
Fathers Rise Together, it was actually started in Texas. It's an idea that I kind of played with for about 10 years. I'm a young woman who I didn't have my biological father in my life as much as I would have liked. I recognize that there are some hardships that I experienced in life because he wasn't there. I'm not guaranteed to say that if he was there, it would have not happened, but because he wasn't, I can correlate the fact that his presence could have made a difference mm-hmm. in my life.
So I didn't mean to cut you off. So
that's okay.
Is there more?
Yes, we started in Texas, in Frisco, Texas, in 2012 is when I started the idea of putting it on paper, and we were formalized as a nonprofit in 2014 in Texas.
Oh, that's very cool. And then you brought the program to Superior, Wisconsin.
Yes.
We're going to talk a little bit about that, and then Duluth, Minnesota as well.
Yes.
And so you're trying to grow your organization that way. So you have three locations.
Yes.
So you're a very busy person. That's very clear. You do other things in the community too. And if you want to talk about that, you certainly can. Why do you, Shaquana, believe there is a need for such a program?
Well, several reasons. The epidemic of fathers being removed from the home is horrible. And it has been since the 60s. And it's only gotten worse. We have taken a stance in our country that fathers aren't important. We know that because of the policies and procedures that we put into place when a child is born. Immediately when a child is born in most states, but definitely in the state of Wisconsin, Texas, and Minnesota, a father has to go to family court to get any type of parenting time, any type of visitation, and immediately he's put on child support if the mother is receiving any type of medical assistance or financial cash, food stamps, and medical assistance. He's immediately put on child support. Furthermore, there are fathers who are on birth certificates and didn't sign the birth certificate, and now he has to pay for that child for 18 years. The things that we have in place keep fathers impoverished. And so Fathers Rise Together is needed to help educate them and to support them to be the best father that they can be.
When I looked at your mission statement, I was intrigued by it, and it says something like this. It says, providing support for fathers and bringing families together. I mean, that's very clear mm-hmm. as to what your organization is about and what you're attempting to do. Can you talk about or give some scenarios of how you've brought fathers and families together?
Yeah, I can go back to before we ever got our nonprofit. The very first phone call I ever received in Texas was a father who just really wanted to see his kids. And because he couldn't go to family court and he didn't have a lot of family around, he just asked if I would supervise a visit for him. As a child protection social worker in Texas, not knowing anybody, I said, sure. If they're willing to trust me and do a background check, I'm willing to do a visit for you and I can go in the community. And honestly, I took my kids to one end of the park and let them play and went to the other end of the park and supervised a visit for this father.
Oh, and that's very good. And it was the result was?
The result was in the end that he got some parenting time with his children.
Yeah, that's really great. I think this is an exciting program. I know a part of the program is called Devoted Dads.
Yes.
Talk about Devoted Dads, please.
Devoted Dads is our opportunity to educate fathers who are engaged in social services. They're being released from jails and prisons. They're currently in work release settings. Grandfathers who are taking on their children's children, and they're now back to parenting hands-on instead of being a grandparent. And it teaches fathers how to address their parenting that they experienced from their mother or father or lack thereof, and actually address issues and concerns that they have within themselves to better their parenting. Devoted Dads is not about saying dads are bad dads without devoted dads. It's saying we recognize that you are a father. We recognize that you are a dad, and we want to provide you with the skills and the knowledge to help you be a better father all around for everyone.
Well, that's great. So someone listening right now might say, well, why is a woman heading this up? And why are you as a woman interested in making sure that fathers are in the lives of their children?
It goes deep for me, honestly. If I can be honest with the person who would be thinking about that, one, I'm a mother. And I happen to be a mother of a 19-year-old boy who is a father himself of a 2-year-old. Yeah, Fathers Rise Together was up and going before she was born, but I truly believe that it was planted in me because God knew it was already coming. And so I had already put myself in a position to help my son in a way that no other organization was willing or able to help him, to ensure that he had visiting time with his child so that he wasn't just considered a child support check. Furthermore, I also think that God tried to give this vision to 1,000 men and they were too afraid to take it on, and God knew I was foolish enough to follow through. So I follow through. I believe that I'm about planting seeds, and I also know that as a social worker, what's lacking in our community when it comes to fathers and children. The reality is that when fathers are not around, children are more likely to be in impoverished communities. They're more likely to experience bullying. They're more likely to experience suicide ideation. They're more likely to struggle with mental health concerns. I know that because I deal with it every day. And right now I happen to be dealing with it with 32 kids on my caseload.
32 kids. So you're really busy. Oh, my God. So let me ask this question. So here we are tonight. We are in a predominantly Caucasian region of the country. For the participants of Fathers Rise Together, what do they look like? Is it all African heritage men? Is it Native heritage and African heritage? Is the organization open to any father?
It's open to any father. At this time, we are not serving fathers who have a criminal background as a sex offender. We do not have the means to meet their needs at this time. However, all fathers, no matter the race, age, their color, their creed, or their religious background, all fathers are welcome. And the reason why I target African, or our organization targets African American and Native American fathers, is because we are also a part of wanting to close the gap for African American and Native American children in schools. We know that fathers who are engaged in their children's lives, their kids have a 90% chance of actually having an A and B honor roll report card and actually learn and retain what they are getting when their fathers are involved. This is not to say that single mothers aren't doing a good job. That is not what Fathers Rise Together is saying. Fathers Rise Together is saying that mothers shouldn't have to carry the load alone. And if we can help prepare fathers with skills and tools to co-parent with this mother that they are either in a relationship with, that they had a one-night stand with, that they've been incarcerated and have been away from, if we can help them, we help our children. And at the end of the day, that's what's most important to me. I went to school to become a child protection social worker, but in my role that I am in as a social worker, I'm at the bottom of the river catching what's coming down. Fathers Rise Together is my opportunity to be at the top of the river to actually start pouring and throwing tools into the water so those who are out there in that situation, they're better preparing themselves as well as future generations.
Mm-hmm. That is really good. Thanks for listening to this episode of People of Color. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. So I know you have several workshops coming up, and I know one is currently in progress in Superior, Wisconsin. Yes. Can you take a moment and share with our listeners what that workshop is, what it entails, and what about future locations for the workshop?
So right now we have our Devoted Dads in Superior. We are meeting at a local church here in Superior. We meet every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m., and it is a workshop where we're teaching dads how to really dig into their own emotional, physical, and spiritual health so that they can be a better father. And we do that with hands-on conversations among fathers. Our goal is to create a cohort of fathers who can be each other's support outside of going to the club, outside of drinking, outside of being incarcerated. Is an opportunity to create healthy support for fathers.
Okay. So this show is also listened to in the Ashland and Bayfield area.
Yes.
Is there any opportunity for folks in the Ashland and Bayfield area to say to you, for example, we want something like this over in our community? How might they contact you if that's a possibility?
They can always send us an email at fathersrisetogether@gmail.com. They can also give a phone call at 218-461-1722, and we will do our best to figure it out. I mean, at this time, I don't have any plans to expand out there, but I'm always willing to have a conversation about expansion for programming.
Oh, very cool. Is there anything else you want to share with our listeners that we haven't already talked about? I want to give you this opportunity to share as much information as you are willing to and want to, so that if there are fathers listening out there that want to get involved, you know, you need to contact Shaquana and her team because they're making it happen in the region.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. We have our Juneteenth event coming up in June 17, 2018, and that's a partnership with the Superior African Heritage Community. We also have our entrepreneurship programming workshop for fathers and women alike. Actually, it's not just for dads. The entrepreneurship workshop will start in March. It will be a small cohort of 7 people. So if you're really interested in starting your own business, learning how to write a business plan, this will be a great opportunity for you. That workshop will be 8 weeks, 2-hour sessions as a group, and then we will have 2 individual sessions, 1 hour each for every participant that gets involved. And they walk away with a workbook where they can utilize as a tool, and we'll be connecting them with other local organizations such as the Entrepreneurship Fund, Northland Foundation, as well as the UMD Economic Development Program in Duluth.
Absolutely. So you're taking it from not just fathers and coming in just talking and you need to be in your child's life. You're not forcing that, but you're saying to them, yes, that's essential for you to be there, but mm-hmm. we have some other opportunities for you to start your own business.
Yes. The reality is that child support is an impoverishing situation for dads. $50 a month could break a dad. And that's in the real world. Mm-hmm. We think that $50 isn't a lot, but it's a lot when you're making $9 an hour and working 50 hours a week trying to pay your rent and you can't get food stamps. It's a lot. And so if we can teach our fathers how to work for themselves, start a business, and as well as teach their children about starting a business, that's how we're going to start breaking the generational curses and changing the understanding of generational wealth. We have to change that perspective for our fathers. And I wanted to start with our fathers, but I'm also opening that door for women who are interested in starting a business in the Twin Ports area as well. So it's very important for those who are interested in participating that they get in contact with me soon, because it is a small cohort of 5 to 7 people. And if you are interested and we're full, you'll just have to wait for the next session.
Absolutely. So I've often heard people talk about, well, they're just deadbeat dads. They don't really want to be in their children's lives. That's a myth. That's absolutely incorrect.
Very much so.
Can you talk about that and kind of allay some of those kinds of comments that people are putting out there?
Yes. Are there fathers who are horrible dads? Yes. Every man who has a child was not meant to be a father, no doubt. But if I'm going to be as frank and honest as I am in my real life, the truth is that we have a lot of bitter, broken women raising children. They're using these children to get back at men who are no longer interested in being with them. They're making the materialistic things of a child's life more important than the connection to the father. Does a child have needs? Yes. Food, definitely important. There's no doubt. A roof over that child's head, no doubt. Very important. But no one can convince me the psychological health of a child is less important than food. It can't be. Because there are children who have a roof over their head, they have food on the table, and they're still asking about who is my dad?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you love my dad anymore? Why didn't it work out? Why don't my dad love me? And they're telling only half the story. And it's not fair, and it opens up these wounds on children that they take out into the community, and we in the community are the ones who are dealing with the symptoms of fathers not being involved.
Yeah,
that's the truth.
Working to change that paradigm.
Working to change that paradigm. Mm-hmm. And fathers have, and I don't hear people talk about this, but there is a love language when it comes to fatherhood. I think that in our society, we've connected fatherhood to providing because biblically, that's what they're taught. Fathers are to provide. Husbands are to provide. There, again, no doubt fathers need to provide, but they also have to provide more than just financial means to meet the needs of children. Mothers shouldn't and should not want to carry the weight alone.
Mm-hmm.
The weight and the responsibility of raising well-rounded children in today's society when we have social media raising too many of our children, we shouldn't want to do it alone. And so why am I doing this as a woman? Because I have done it alone before. And it makes no sense to do it alone when I can co-parent with someone and mm-hmm. my child can get their needs met as so long as I can check my own bitter and brokenness if it was to ever appear.
Wow. Very powerful. Is anyone listening tonight, if you want to contact Shaquana, give your contact information again for someone who is interested in contacting you.
Indeed. My name is Shaquana McIntyre. Our email is fathersrisetogether@gmail.com. Our website is fathersrisetogether.com.
And I'm going to read this one more time. Fathers Rise Together is guided by the philosophy and teaching of self-determination, personal control, and increased finances. The purpose of Fathers Rise Together is to help strengthen the family, and that's the family unity, by engaging fathers in their children's lives to establish family values, social roles, and participation in the community. Shaquana McIntyre, thank you very much. Shaquana is the executive director and founder of Fathers Rise Together with the locations in Texas, Superior, Wisconsin, and Duluth, Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you, Henry. Thank you.
People of Color with Henry Banks. Inspiring hope, uplifting communities of color. Every Thursday at 6 p.m. on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. With thanks to Elliot Sweary, producer of this episode of People of Color with Henry Banks.
Yeah. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me, please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long. But I know a change gonna